Hey guys, this is Phil Wright from the Scandaleros and Alligator Wine.
Hi, I'm Jack Wright, his mini-me, and he finally let me out of the basement.
So Jack, now that you're out of the basement, what are you going to do on December 3rd?
I should probably jam out with all the rock stars in St. Louis at Philippalooza.
That's right, Philippalooza 11's coming up, right? Where are we having that?
Oh, the old Rock House, nice place.
Nice place, yeah, we like that place a lot. So, there's a lot of great musicians playing with us that day. Jake's Leg, the Funky Butt Brass Band, the Falling Fences, Al Holiday and the Eastside Rhythm Band, Mom's Kitchen.
They smell good.
Scandaleros. Phil Wright and friends, who... Is that who you're playing with?
I believe so.
I think they were going to let you, finally. All right, Oaksteel and Lightning and Cluster Pluck will be there as well. Tickets are $10. They're available through MetroTix right currently, or you can buy them the evening of at the door. This is a Schlafly-sponsored event. It'll be a full tap takeover. We'll have a silent auction and all kinds of other fun things going on. Music starts at 3 p.m., ends at 3 a.m., all day long, 12 hours of craziness and music. So we'll see you guys down there at the old Rock House. I'll speak for Jack, and when I say we look forward to hanging out with all you good folks.
Oh, yeah.
Now get back in your hole.
Oh, come on, man. You can't keep doing this to me.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at the Gaslight on the Hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Check it out at GaslightSTL.com for a full listing of upcoming events and book yourself a tour. Come over and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, and they all happen to share a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come over and get some tacos, some cold drinks, watch one of your favorite bands record in the studio, and just have a great time. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram while you're at it. Like I said, full listing of events, GaslightSTL.com. Also wanted to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location. They just moved over to Washington Avenue, right over there next to KDHX. So come visit the new location, new records every Friday, live in stores, a lot on the weekends. You can follow them also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
A podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Evan Thomas from For the Birds and Skyburnt White. You are listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Evan Thomas. Welcome to the show, my friend.
How are we doing?
Hey.
Rock Paper Pod people.
Pod people. Yeah, so you got a lot going on, man. We kind of set this up to talk about your side project, your new adventure with Further Birds.
Yeah.
And since booking this date, we've made a couple other announcements and things, and
right.
So we got even more to talk about. So which I was, it's a little, we call that sweetener. You know, we had a little sugar to it.
Yeah, I just can't seem to, get my hands in enough of other people's stuff, which is, I feel like I kind of caught a second wind, I'm trying to take things outside of the normal kind of format of what I'm used to, and I don't know, expand my horizons a little bit and challenge myself with stuff I haven't really try to do before. So
what we are talking about is are the newest addition to Skyburnt White.
That's correct.
You'll be playing some keys with them.
Yep.
And so very exciting for me. I'm a big fan of those guys, and obviously all good friends of the show. Gabe's been on here about 100 times, I think. I'm very excited to see what you guys are able to do together and what you're going to bring to their sound and stuff. And
well, I'm such a huge fan of the band anyway. I mean, to me, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have some really good friendships with a lot of players around, and you know, these guys have kind of pervasively been you know, the kind of arbiter and the I guess kind of champions of the scene now. There's a real good energy and a really good you know, quality, human quality to their music, I think, yeah. and to what they do as a band, because you know, it's tough to be around people who have their head shoved up their own ass
right.
For too long, and I don't know, humility is really attractive to me, and you know, letting other people do the talking for you when it comes to what you do, and I think I don't know, I think I'm looking for validation, you know, from my peers, and I can't say that I'm magnanimously trying to join the band out of some sort of, you know, charity or something like that. I honestly am just humbled and thrilled to have even the opportunity to play with these guys, because they're just, you know, stand-up
sure.
guys.
Yeah, definitely. I think I don't know. I guess for me, might have been the first time seeing this collaboration was at the Halloween Homies Bash. Mm-hmm. You jumped up and did a little Nine Inch Nails, right?
Yeah. I've kind of crashed their practices a couple of times over the past 6 months out in St. Clair, just so that I can point at them and ridicule them.
Right.
But it was kind of a self-indulgent thing. You know, I kind of want to be Gabe. So just bask in the glow and the aroma of that guy.
Right.
It's kind of a mix of cool water and high school rejection,
yeah.
I think is what that smells like. But no, he, you know, he didn't really bring that to me. He just said, or they just played it at practice, and they started it, and I was like, oh, give me a mic, I love this song. And first run through was just, you know, solid, and I was like, you have to let me do this. And, you know, he had a couple of other guys come up. I mean, Ryan came up and did a song. Let's see.
They did People of the Sun with ATG.
ATG, yeah. Joe Glenk got up there and did a tune. And see, this just goes to show the... I'm sorry, Ryan didn't get up there and do a song. Chaney wasn't there.
Right? No, yeah, that was.
This speaks to how authentic and how collaborative these guys really are. They genuinely, you know, get their enjoyment from sharing their music and sharing in other people's music with them and. And always supportive, always, you know, just encouraging. And I mean, there's no question about the reputation that these guys have around. I
sure, think. Man. Yeah, I think adding keys, very exciting for me. I think that's, you know, just going to add another dynamic to the sound and bring, you know, fatten up that sound a little bit more, and I'm excited to see, you know, you guys doing it live.
Yeah, I'm excited about the challenge of it, because you know, they're on their album, they have some studio instrumentation, but it's tough to kind of get that translated to a live performance without using obvious backing tracks, you know, which some people have an issue with that. I personally don't. I think that, you know, produce the shit out of it until somebody tells you that you're a crazy person. But no, I think you're right. There's this untapped kind of channel in that that I think I'm going to exploit, you know, like Bill Cosby on a date, you know. I want to focus more on my synth, you know, and focus less on trying to you know, jump around on stage being a front man. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love singing, and I like you know, the opportunity to be able to have a voice, but I think for a while I've neglected large parts of what I do instrumentally, and I think me singing had served as a distraction mm-hmm. from my progress of becoming more of what I want to be when it comes to the keys. So this is going to give me the opportunity to kind of sit in that pocket and really let the lunatics graze on the lawn.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, so I guess we don't have any current dates to plug for Skyburnt White with Evan, but keep an eye out on obviously go to their Skyburnt White Facebook page and mm-hmm. keep up with all the announcements there and stuff. But yeah, exciting times coming there. But
definitely.
But along with all that, you also, like I said, we mentioned the Further Birds is your new project. Also, you're working on, and that's totally different than.
Yeah, this is my pure self-indulgence. Right. This is my my ego crystallized, I think. No, you know, I've never really tried to do my own thing solo before. I never really thought I had the I didn't think anything like that would be very compelling, and I still actually have reservations about whether that was purely for my own selfish benefit or for, you know, a genuine artist project. I think this was more like, I will play on your patio from 3 to 6.
Right.
And, you know, I will do, you know, shameless covers like, you know, Lionel Richie and, you know, Van Morrison, you know.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's just, it sharpens my sword, I think. The places that I tend to frequent are laid back places. This isn't overly produced, or not a ton of pomp and circumstance that goes along with it. Actually, if anyone has ever followed any of the show postings that I've put up, it's usually about 5 minutes before I play. I don't promote myself very well, and I try not to have too many people at my acoustic shows that are familiar with what I do in Maiden Waves, because I think it's kind of a, you know, they exist separately from each other, and this is more of an itch that I scratch for my own personal benefit, and not to mention that I'm largely unhirable. So I've got to make some scratch from somewhere.
Yeah.
It's not lucrative, but it's definitely, keeps my ear to the ground as to what's going on locally, and, It lets me, just stay busy with it and keep my vocals sharp, keep my knives honed.
Sure. Why do you go with Fur of the Birds instead of just going as Evan Thomas or anything else? And
I abhor the idea of that. I tossed around the idea of Evan Thomas and the Rarely Wear Thems, but it sounds a little self-serving to me, and I really think that the music that I write and my approach to performing my For the Birds stuff is kind of the anti-ego. I don't want it to be hey, look at me kind of thing. I think it's really meant to be very supplemental. I don't want to impose myself on people, if that makes sense. It's there's no way to have anonymity locally, you know, with something like this, but it's about as close as I can get to it.
Yeah. So I didn't really know you even played guitar until this project, and I know
I still really don't. You know, mostly the guitar is kind of a vehicle for getting songs and melodies out of my head. I've been playing, I guess, in that capacity for 20 years, but I was never the best in the room when it came to that kind of thing, and I'm one of those people that is intimately aware of their limitations. Now, I like to try to push against those walls of my limitations as much as possible, but I don't have any delusions of greatness here. It's so many of my friends and the people that I know that play musically around town are much better suited for it. So for me to try to, there are people that play now better than I would be able to play if I studied it every day for the next 10 years. And I say, let them do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I got my own thing over here and I'll do that. And I believe in the society of music. I believe that that it's kind of a contradiction to me to play and perform music while alienating people and judging people and marginalizing people in the same space, because really we are the lifeblood of the health of the music scene in your area. So you have to make friends. I mean, at the end of the day, we sell snake oil. You know, that's what we do. We don't have a product. We don't make things with our hands, or, you know, I couldn't install drywall into your house. You know, it's like, I don't know how to do that. I couldn't fix your deck, and if you wanted to stand on it, that is. The clickiness is what I'm trying to protest against. This idea that I'm better than you, he's not as good as anyone else. To me, for something subjective like music, it's impossible to have any sort of empirical, pissing contest that way. It's a matter of preference in what we do. And when you sell space and air to people, you have to make friends, because that's about the only real currency you have. I am more inspired by a hungry, semi-accomplished player than I am by some sort of grandiose, big name.
Right.
I think we're now enjoying something here in St. Louis that is refreshing. I think we have a lot of young talent that's they're showing up to shows. They're supporting their friends in the scene and making it possible for collaborative efforts to happen. And it's been a long time since we've been able to see that. Mm-hmm. I think the network is as strong as it's ever been, from what I've seen.
Definitely, yeah.
Some of my favorite musicians and people to see perform are standing out there in front of me when I'm playing, and this is awesome.
Yeah. We're talking about doing covers with for the birds. Are you sprinkling in some originals in there too?
I do. Yeah. And actually, I was discussing with my wife the other day that I think I'm being a little bit too ambitious by trying to pad my cover sets. I kind of just need to narrow down my focus, because I've kind of let some of the original stuff that I've written kind of just sit. And, like, I can always pull that out, that's an extra 4 minutes there. You know, it's, to me, I feel like I'm kind of neglecting my baby, I'm starting to refocus on that now. I am an abysmal sound engineer or a recording engineer here. I work with Studio One here at my house, and I know pretty much how to press record on a track. I kind of write in a very depressing kind of fashion. I don't try to make my songs, make you want to, put the suicide hotline on speed dial. But they just kind of end up coming out that way. I need to indulge myself a little bit more than I have with my originals, more so than the covers.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's therapeutic in a sense, though, where, like, I kind of talked to this guy that I mentioned a few times, but Lincoln Durham, and he writes a lot of these dark, depressing, sad songs and things, and not very positive, happy messages in any of them, but for him, like, it's that release to get these thoughts that are in his head out on paper, and where he can, because you meet him in person, he's a very, very happy, friendly, mm-hmm. Smiling guy, and always having a good time, but, like, his music is very, very opposite. So it's like I said, it's that sense of therapeutic release where he can kind of get these things out of his head and to where he can.
I think so. I think it's tough to struggle with an abstract idea of something, but if you kind of will and voice that into existence, I think it kind of gives you a tangible thing that becomes, I mean, therapeutic's the perfect way of saying it, I think, because you have this running narrative in your head about your your well-being, your mental, your emotional well-being. And I think it would be easy to mischaracterize where things come from. I think that I'm not an unhappy person by any stretch. I'd like to think that I have a thousand different things that make my life awesome than the things that make my life suck. But also, I think it's a way of eliciting some emotion out of people too. Right. You know, our interpretation of things can be as polar opposite as, you know, night and day or black and white. I think what we're all able to take from something is not universal, but the taking from something is universal. And I think that if I can, like, when I hear a cover of, or when I hear somebody's song and I want to cover it, I want to try to draw out that same reaction from people when I play it that I got from them when I first heard it.
Right.
And I want that to be as unfiltered and as unencumbered as possible. And I think that really happy songs are sometimes I guess an unauthentic to me in some ways. It's almost like trying to put a rosy veneer on something instead of, I just find that an emotion of longing, wanting and not having, needing, these things I think are translate as more authentic emotion than, oh, everything's great, you know, life's peachy, you know, my girl loves me, and my job, you know, doesn't make me want to kill somebody. And to me, I feel like it's like that, you know, what Carrie Elwes said in Princess Bride. It's like, you know, life is pain. Anyone who tells you otherwise is trying to sell you something. I think that's very true.
Right.
You know. And I don't think that it would be possible to even experience joy without the comparison to a time where you felt shitty.
Yeah.
And my songs come from shitty places.
Right. Well, you want to play one of those?
Sure.
Give them a little taste of what they can expect from For the Birds.
Yeah. I'm not a terribly virtuosic guitar player, so we're just gonna keep it simple. But here's a song. Days Go By. I don't mean to make the days harder on
like these faded songs keep telling me where I've been. And days gone by.
Countryer side of things, I'd like to, you know, I think it would be a little strange if you had only listened to the stuff that I've done with, you know, the guys and, you know, Ghost of the Machine, Maiden Waves. But I don't know, I come from a pretty poppy place, though. Growing up, I mean, you know, some of my favorite bands, I mean, I was in a Rush in a Dream Theater cover band when I was like 15, and I was a big Alice in Chains fan, as you can see, like,
yeah.
Only original piece of art is from an artist up in Omaha, is Ben Knott, and he plays, last I heard, he was playing in a band called Coincide, but he also is in a Deftones cover band called White Pony, and he's one of the most fantastic artists. But yeah, Layne Staley was a big inspiration to me. But you know, to me, I think, you know, I mean, you know, John Mayer and, you know, people like Ed Sheeran and you know, I'm a huge you know, fan of you know, like Bon Iver. And there's an Icelandic guy named Ásgeir. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Man, this guy's incredible. He's just, you know, to me, I think, you know, you can be dynamic and you can be, you know, strong without being loud. And I think you can be intense without being noisy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a real dynamic, you know, I have a dynamic fetish, you know, I like the differences between the louds and the soft, and the high and the low. I think, you know, we can say, you know, 4/4, you know, standard AED, you know, kind of progressions and just kind of fake a lot of things. And I think that really what catches my ear is being able to play in some of these standard chords that people play in, but make it sound like a song you've never heard. One of my favorite guys to cover when I play my For the Birds stuff is Amos Lee. I think that this guy has a singular talent to take something so kind of almost remedial as far as his approach to song structure, but make it sound like no one has made that sound before. And I think it's an understanding of you know, the nuance in it. I'm not flashy. I'm not you know, I love Animals as Leaders. I love, you know, Meshuggah, like some of these you know, bands that play in bizarre time signatures and just very syncopated and polyrhythmic, you know, this is, I love it. But it can be gimmicky, I think. I think that some people will do it just for the sake of doing it. And I don't know, I have a discerning ear. I can usually tell when somebody's trying too hard,
right?
Or embellishing something, and I'm less impressed by how fast you can play, and I'm more impressed by how clever you can be in what you play. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something about all that too, like with just a guitar and like that, where you can kind of strip it down and like bring people in. Like there's something about just, you know, you don't have to sing super loud to impress them. You can bring it in nice and soft, and people are like, want to take more notice to what's going on there and stuff. Like sometimes, especially in a bar setting, like sometimes it's hard to grab their attention, but sometimes you just do a nice soft song and people are like, hey, what's this over here? You
know? Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what, it's tough to kind of say what your favorite song is, but as hard as that might be for me to pinpoint, I can definitely tell you my favorite song, whatever that might be, is not terribly complex. I would think about something like, like Jeff Buckley's cover of Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, you know, and it's like, these are very standard, you know, you've got your C to your... Very standard chord structures, but man, I mean, it just pulls it out of you. There's something that's just left on the altar of music, right. You know, that's just weeping and broken on it. That I don't know. It's to me, music is a language that we all spoke before we had nationalities and ethnicities and ideologies and all of the little kind of groups and name tags and labels that we've given to ourselves and, you know, of modern society. I think all of these trappings are, you know, they're great. Don't get me wrong. I like having indoor plumbing. I like not having to you know, hunt for my food.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that a lot of this distracts us from what really makes us similar, which is kind of, you know, closer to the trunk of that human tree. You know, you got the trunk, you got the big limbs, you got the twigs that come off of that, and you got the leaves. And those leaves will fall off, grow back every year. They look the same, they have the same appearance, but that's not the same leaf. You know, that leaf fell off, another one popped up in its place. That trunk ain't going anywhere.
Right.
You know, and that, I think, goes back to our, you know, pre-agrarian, our nomadic lifestyle of, you know, well, we beat on something in a cave and, you know, something came back at us and that was fascinating. You know, it's like, wait, we can reproduce that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that is fundamentally human. And I can identify with the language, the syntax of music. You know, it's and all of its kind of it's nuance. And I'm not one of these people that say I don't listen to country, or you know, I don't like gangster rap. I like art.
Right.
I can tell the difference between art and kind of fabricated commodity. And, you know, it doesn't matter what style of music it is. I think it lies right on the surface. I have no problem being able to identify that. You know, some people, you know, they'll go to a show and just give me a beat to nod my head to, and you know, let me hang out with my friends, and that's good. That's great for some people. You know, if music fills your needs that way, hey, have at it. And that's going to be 85% of the people that are going to be there watching you play. But I try to play for that, you know, 15-20% of people that are reverse engineering what you're doing, and they're laser focused, you know, in dissecting what you're doing. Because you could see those people, you know, you could see the people that are really processing it, and you could see people that, you know, it's almost superficial for them.
Right.
And I want to be able to, I want everyone to be able to enjoy something like that. I'm not one of these people that's like, oh, well, you know, you don't know what, you know, you don't know who Sam Cooke is, you know, oh, what kind of person are you? It's like, no, I want to be able to play a Sam Cooke song for you that you'll enjoy, even if you don't know who Sam Cooke is, you know? So, yeah.
Kind of a little different, but speaking of those people that, it's like I work at Oyster Bar now, mm-hmm. and like we have cover charge for the music and things. There are times where it's not during like dinner or some you know, a solo acoustic act. There might be no cover charge, but a lot of times when the evening hits, we have a band come in and there's.
Sure.
This cover, and I tell people like, oh yeah, you know, $5 cover, and the look on their faces sometimes when you usually can tell right away which ones are going to, but they'll give you that look of disgust, like what, $5 for paying for music? And it's like, yeah, like it's not, you know,
yeah, this ain't charity, bitch.
Right, yeah.
No, I remember your like you posted something a week or two ago, and it was this woman who was like, I've never paid a cover,
yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm glad to be the first one to initiate that in your life. It looks like you've never had your worldview challenged.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, there are those people out there that just think, like, you guys should be playing for free, and that, you know, like, it's always, they just consider it background noise or whatever, that nobody's really appreciating the art of it. And, like, And, you know, but yeah, I'm definitely of that.
I think I'm somewhere in between. I don't like the commoditization of music. I don't like the idea that somebody like, you know, who's somebody that's just a jackass that has their head up their ass most of the time?
There's a lot of those.
Yeah, I just don't want to step on anyone's toes. Somebody like, I would say, you know, oh, geez. We've all known those artists who just, their shit doesn't stink, and they have no time for you, and it's and they're making $1 million a year, and it's like, to me, that's, as the quote said, as the quote goes, you know, everything is worth what the purchaser will pay for. I understand that. I understand the need for an evaluation on something. But I don't agree with the nepotistic kind of cronyism that happens in music too often. I'll use an example. Robin Thicke, you know, this is Alan Thicke's son. You know, he was on, was it Growing Pains?
Yeah.
I think it was Growing Pains. Yeah. Anyhow, yeah, Robin Thicke got sued by the estate of Marvin Gaye for ripping him off.
Right.
You know, ripped off that song. This guy has probably never written a song in his life, but he had a name, you know, good looking guy, I would imagine. Well, I mean, I not that I would imagine, but you know, as far as, you know, his opportunities, he's got them all day long. But there's just no substance there. It's the king's wearing no clothes, you know? But, you know, you take, you know, somebody like, you know, Greyhounds from Austin, Texas. And, you know, this is a guy who sings, plays this Fender Suitcase Rhodes with his right hand, and then plays the bass with his left hand on a Roland, you know, D70.
Yeah.
And I mean, just destroys it every single time. And this guy might be, you know, paying his bills. And I say might because he's just, I mean, I think if you're in it for the money, you're doing it, you're in the wrong line of work. If you are doing it and you have money, cool. But I'm not going to sell my soul for that jelly roll. I think it's not worth it.
Yeah.
If money made you happy, why are there so many douchebag millionaires?
Right.
Yeah. Pricks. They just can't stand life and people and, you know, anything. To me, this is worth it by the experience of it. And it's, you know, if I never see much more than two dimes to rub together, I don't care. I'm still going to be doing it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I feel that with the show, man. This is my creativity, and I'm not really making any money doing it, but I love doing it.
It's got to be a pretty expensive undertaking, man.
It's a fun hobby, though. I enjoy it, and maybe someday it might pay off, but who knows? You know, but I'm having a good time while writing it out. But.
Well, I had a childhood friend growing up in Tennessee, and his father said one of the most important and relevant things to me that I still carry to this day with me. And, you know, I was in high school, I guess, and, you know, he asked me what I liked, like, course-wise in high school, and, you know, PE's fun, you know, I like history's cool, you know, science, that kind of thing. And, he was like, you know, you're probably going to be told, you know, find job security, find something that's going to nets you the most amount of net income, and you know, strive for that. And he said, you know, don't worry about that. He said, find out what it is that you like to do and that you're good at, and then just be better than everyone else at it, and you won't be able to shake money away with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. We've all known somebody or some people who have who are obviously in the wrong line of work. Nurses who have terrible bedside manner, when that should be a large part of your job. You know, maybe public, you know, sector kind of employees that are, you know, kind of just milking it. You know, they're not really effective at what they're doing. They would much rather be doing something else, but this is what, you know, I don't know, their dad did, or this is the job that they came across and they don't want to change it. You know, it's like, I say, you know, just attack and go after what it is that you want out of life. I mean, more money, more problems, you know, is a cliche, but I think it's true, man. I would much rather have what I needed and not anything more, for the freedom and the flexibility to do what makes me happy. Some people are happy with making money. It doesn't displease me to make money, but I just think that it's a little distracting from your original purpose of doing it when that becomes the focus. Because the farther you get away from the reason why you do something that you love doing, it's not going to become funny. It's not funny anymore.
Right.
I've been in a band, monogamously, I might add, for 5 years now, you know, with the guys, in Maiden Waves. And, you know, we never really experienced the commercial aspect of the industry. We've had some really awesome opportunities to, meet and, perform with, you know, who I would consider just the top dogs in my music world. And none of them had that attitude of, you know, how can we monetize this? Well, what kind of money's in that? You know, it's, to me, the successful ones are never really distracted by, you know, the financial aspect of it. There's something that marks betrayal to art when it becomes a commodity like that.
Sure. Yeah. Evan does have a show coming up for the Birds. You can see him November 26th, Saturday night. And another friend of the show, Mr. Andrew Van Dyke's birthday party, be in Washington, Missouri at the Sandbar. So if you are in the area or want to take a little drive, come out to Washington and hang out with Evan. He'll sing you.
It's a nice little drive. It's up in the hill. 44 is a great road to just travel on and kind of see the scenery out there. I like that part of Missouri.
Yeah.
You know, it's and you know, it's a small town, you know, so people tend to get batshit when something cool's like going down like that. So I'm excited.
We were talking about it, like, it's just nuts to think about like what is going on in that part of town right now, like you know, Sky Burnt White's in that area, New Lingo, Conquer As They Come. I mean, there's a lot of
One Day.
There's a lot of great music coming right from that area of town, you know, Washington, Union, and stuff. So,
well, that's actually my first experience with music, that area out there. I was in a band 10 years ago when I first moved here called 10-9 Central. And we practiced in St. Clair, actually. My old drummer, Tom Norton, lived out there. And, well, he still lives out there. But, I think it's just far enough outside of St. Louis to where they can't always get to the St. Louis shows. And it's just close enough to where people are familiar with you out there. You know, you're not a foreign entity. So I think it's kind of it's got a really unique thing going for it because, you know, you feel like you're going to get to engage with some people you don't always get to enjoy their company, and they are thrilled to have you. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win that doesn't always happen when you start talking about the more visible clubs here in St. Louis. And most of those bars out in those areas are great beer prices and just laid back, friendly people. They're not standoffish or cliquish, and I think it's gonna be a fucking blast.
Yeah, I actually recorded the Conquer As They Come episode at the Sandbar in Washington.
Oh, nice.
So that was a little fun fact for everybody at home listening.
Yeah, man. I don't know if I've ever been there, but yeah. I've been through Washington quite a few times. Sure.
But yeah, come out, dance off your turkey and mashed potatoes on the 26th and have a good time. Do we say Mario and Gabe of Skyburn Wire doing
acoustic thing? Yeah, I think it's largely going to be acoustic. Don't quote me on that because it's Andrew's birthday and he can cry if he wants to. I just think you can't go wrong when you got a bunch of friends together in the same place and with the talent of the people involved. I think it might get strange, and we might be seeing some babies about 9 months from now after that.
Yeah, you got one more you want to?
I do. I'll play one more. This is a song. It's not a terribly new song, but it's called "Invisible Man." Here goes. Out of desperation, I write a letter to a far-off friend that don't come around anymore. But does anyone? Been staring half my life through the bottom of a bottle, and I'm thinking maybe I could use a clearer view. Walk across the street and I swear the cars go by like I'm not there. And sometimes I wish upon a star that one would hit me, so maybe it'd wake me up, or maybe it'd knock me out, or maybe it wouldn't do a thing. I can't sleep at night, and I don't make mistakes. Wish I could change my mind. You give me something to change. I feel like an invisible. One more drink, just enough so I can think about all this crazy wrong done in the world. It always amazes me the way her spirit freezes me. I never thought I'd feel
feel this way about that girl. They say that if you love someone, then you should set them free. 'Cause I can't sleep. Wish I could change my mind. Give me something to change. There's always something to change. Something to change. Something.
Get out there and follow Further Birds. That's F-U-R.
That's correct.
Get out there and follow them on Facebook, and you can keep up with the show announcements 5 minutes before the show, and maybe come out and catch Evan in your neighborhood. We got we're playing around a lot, quite a few the Soulard area and stuff, and
mostly, yeah, in my neighborhood. I've done some one-offs in some places that seem a little weird to me, but you know, I'm not afraid of a quinceañera or bar mitzvah or anything like that. I mean, you know, if your dog is getting gay married, I could come up with something. I promise you.
So. Right.
I am available for house parties, anything like that. I mean, I've seriously, nothing is too weird unless it's like, I don't want to be there for your newborn son's bris. Don't ask me. I won't show up for that. It's,
right.
It's too painful. But no, seriously, I don't try to take this I try to take it in the spirit in which I enjoy it, which is don't take it too seriously. Don't ever think too hard about it. I think this is meant to be. This is meant to be enjoyed, and however you like to get it in. Just go and see a show. Go out there and support some of the people around you who are, you know, pouring themselves out to you, and you know, let them know that, you know, they, you know, there's nothing more valuable to an aspiring musician than just your attendance and a positive word to them. It can make or break a lot of things, actually, man. Some people have probably hung up their hat because they received some ill, you know, some negative feedback that was probably not accurate.
Right.
And don't let anyone tell you that that's not a valuable thing what you're doing. So.
Mm-hmm. excuse me. Yeah. So yeah, For the Birds on Facebook, and come out on Saturday, November 26th, the Sandbar, Washington, Missouri.
That's it.
Yeah, man.
Eat some chili, man. There's gonna be a chili cook-off. I'm bringing my secret weapon, man. Yeah, I'm gonna take home the prize, whether I win it or not. I'm gonna.
You heard it here first.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
And for all you daily sports gamblers out there, put your money on the big dog.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Shane. And y'all have a good one. We'll see you next time.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.